You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with director Louise Detlefsen and health practitioner Maybier Abey. In the new documentary, It's Not Over Yet, Detlefsen gets an inside look at a small long-term care facility in Denmark that specializes in the elderly and patients with dementia. Led by Abey, this particular facility has seen some amazing results by emphasizing dignity and human touch. In this one-on-one, we speak to Detlefsen and Abey about helping patients with a peaceful transition and the power of touch. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to the screen. Thank you both so much for chatting with me. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you.
It's Not Over Yet is a beautiful film. It is absolutely beautiful from start to finish. And Louise, I was wondering, let's start with you. What was it that drew you to this seemingly obscure retirement facility in Denmark?
Yeah, well, it's a couple of years ago, and I must say I never really ever imagined that I would do a documentary about a nursing home for people with dementia. It hadn't crossed my mind, but then I by chance heard a radio program with Mai, and where she talked about her nursing home and talked about the way of quality of life that people with dementia could have. And she said that, well, if you're treated in the right way with compassion, you can actually be happy and you can have a fun life, even if you have severe dementia. And she had just this very optimistic approach to a disease that I have, you know, feared like many other people. So that made me curious. And that was the starting point that I just called her and asked if she would meet me.
It's just an incredible facility. And from what we've seen, I was wondering, what is it like for you there? What sort of challenges do you face? And what sort of atmosphere are you trying to build?
I try to build a family atmosphere, an atmosphere that is calm. And I try to work with the senses all the time. The way we do the decor, the aesthetics around the residence, the sound, the smells, the colors, the lights that gets in the windows, and we try to work a lot with our way of talking to the residents, seeing them as equal human beings. So it's many things at the same times. At the same time, we work with so that they could feel embraced by their surroundings all the time.
The atmosphere there is just is beautiful. It's beautiful. And one of the things that is so lovely about it is we often don't see, or at least we don't hear about those places that are caring for people and giving them a sense of dignity in their last chapter of their lives. And I was wondering what it means to you to extend dignity to your residents.
It means everything to me, actually, and of course also to the residents and to the staff, that we have in mind all the time that these residents, it's the last part of their life and it's the last very short part of their life. So we have to think about this dignity all the time, and life quality, and ethically what is right now and what's wrong to do. And that is why we try to work all the time with the presence and with the senses, so that they would feel this last part of their life, despite of their disease, that they would feel like they're normal, that they're here like we are here, and that they have a role still they have a role in life.
Have you seen residents improve, like greatly improve throughout your time there? Because I mean, you have one woman who gets there and she, my goodness, she's just been thrown medication at her. And yet we see some sort of progression. What sort of response have you seen from your residents?
We see many, many improvements. We see that some of the residents, they when they come in the wheelchair, they begin to walk again after we start with a lot of exercise and training, and as we reduce the medicine also, and we lift them up in the way we talk to them, they feel like they're more worthy. So all that together brings them into they believe in themselves also. So they start to walk again, maybe, or maybe you could see they get a spark back in the eye, and you can see they begin to talk again in normal sentences. So it's many improvements we experience every day. And of course, some residents, there are more improvements than other residents. But we see it in every residence. We actually just got a resident here last week, and he didn't have any language, and he was just sitting in the wheelchair, didn't move at all, and now he's moving, lifting his hand, and he's saying no or yes, and saying little small sentences, but that's an improvement. So that's also part of the values, that we believe that they can have an improvement when they move in.
It seems like such a simple concept, though. Why is it that so many other facilities seem to grasp what you're doing?
Or I think actually they work too much by their fear. So they fear the disease themselves, and the system fears the disease, and that comes out when they work with these residents. So fear is not a good combination if you want to make improvements. And that's, I think that's the hugest problem we have in the care system, actually. That's a fear.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Louise, as an outsider, I was wondering what this experience was like for you, because this is a wild ride and very emotional and personal. How does this sort of speak to your heart?
I mean, I can remember that my grandma, who I was very close with, she said, I'd rather die than go to a nursing home. As she really said, never, ever take me there. Kill me instead. So I was, you know, and I also remember the smell from my other, grandma, when we visited her, that it was a place that you really don't like. It's like when you go into a hospital. But then when I came to Dagmarsminde for the first time, I just had this feeling, like in the film, there is a woman, when she comes in, they say, you can relax, we'll take care of things. And she just has this sigh. And that was really the feeling when I came there the first time, that you want to take your shoulders down. You feel like coming to a home. I just really loved being there. And I really also think that I got a relationship with the residents on a personal level with the main characters, that I really got to know them, and they were really open-minded. So for me, it has been quite emotional as well.
I can imagine. One of the more difficult and challenging, as a viewer, to watch is watching this one woman transition. And you talk about transitioning. She's transitioning out, and there's this really difficult conversation with another staff member who says, "But I don't want to encourage this." And you handle it beautifully. You handle it so lovingly, so caringly across the board with the president and with your staff. I was wondering, when you talk about that process, how you sort of came to that conclusion, and what that means to you to allow a resident to do that?
I came to that conclusion about working in that way because of all my experience as a nurse. Many times I've seen patients and elderly residents in nursing home that they die alone, or they die in pain, and they really suffer in the last hours and the last days. And then I started thinking about, what if we could make this time natural, like life is, because it is a part of the life. So what if we could help these people? Because at that time, when my residents, when they reach that time, they can't speak so much, they can't eat, or they can't express their needs so much. So we have to help them. It's our duty, actually, to follow them into that process and observing their needs, what they want to tell us. And that's a difficult thing to do. You do it over, not overnight, but over maybe months and weeks. But I just noticed when we began to work with this process in a natural manner, also the death got natural. It was a calm situation also around the family. So that is I have a strong belief that this is our. We have to do it. It's our duty to follow them into that process in a natural way.
That is such a difficult idea, but it's also so healthy as well, the way that you and your team have orchestrated. I think it's beautiful. And Louise, I have to give you credit, because that is one of those things that, as a filmmaker, that you're dealing with literal life and death issues here, and to let the camera roll. And to show that, I think was wonderful. Again, for you to participate in this, was that a difficult moment for you in this filmmaking?
I mean, I think that this came after we had been filming almost a year at the Dagmar's Minde. So we had really gotten close to the staff and to the residents. But I think that this is filmmaking and is so much about trust. And I really felt that when we had made an agreement to do the documentary, I had, Maya was really open and she was really trusting me. And we were giving access to all the meetings where they were discussing all the ethical things about the residents. So I think that access and that made it also natural to do this filming. And because death is a part of life, and because the staff is treating this as part of their job and their duty, I was amazed that I didn't have such a difficulty with it. And I had like death anxiety and stuff. So, but I felt, it was actually a good process, also filmmaking. And of course we talked to the relatives, and we didn't film in her last hours. We filmed before that, but with their acceptance. Yeah, so I think that Mai and her staff made it feel good, if you can say so.
No, of course. And I don't want anybody listening to think that this is a film about death. It's not. It's really about life. And even the way I've never seen a more beautiful, quiet sort of funerals as the residents are passing, and the singing of the songs, and you know, the drinking together, and it's a beautiful moment. The film is called It's Not Over Yet, and I would love to hear from both of you why that title has significance for you in terms of this story and this place.
For me, working with the residents, it's about convincing them that we are here now, here and now, and this is a presence we have together. And whenever they feel sorrow or that they need something they can't express, or they feel alone also, because they really suffer from difficult times also in my care home, then they can feel that we are nearby them all the time, and that this presence is the most important we have, this presence right here and right now. So by thinking in that sort of thinking, then you feel like it is not over yet. So when she says, one of my residents says to me in the last part of the film, she says, well, that time is over when we made a fire when I was young. I say, no, it's not over yet. it's not over. Now we're here together. So I think actually the title is the most important part of my work. Also, it's not the most important part of the film, but of my work, of my thoughts about working with these people.
Absolutely, absolutely. Louise,
for me, I think that as I grow older, you know, you fear death, and you know nobody wants to. If you ask young people or middle-aged people, nobody wants to grow old because you always imagine that is horrible. And actually, let me say that the people that have seen the documentary so far, they have in parts of the film they laugh because it's humorous and it's joyful So for me, it's also hope. It's like when we're old, if we're together with somebody, if we have human contact, if we feel that we belong to a community, that we're not alone, this is really the essential part of life. So that is, for me, why the title was matched the film and the place that Mai has built.
As we start to wrap up, for you both, I'm wondering, what is it that you hope somebody who sees the film takes away from the experience?
The starting point was a fascination of the way that Mai is treating the people with dementia with natural methods without medicine. But what it has meant to me making the film is really that it's so universal. Like Mai says, we're here, right now, that to be present in our own life and to sense what it is really being alive, like the most basic, simple thing of just being here right now in life. So that is what I hope that people will reflect on in their life. I mean, there's so many things that we do. We're ambitious and we always think, what are we going to do next Saturday? And was it bad what I did last night? But just really this seize the day. That is my hope.
Mai, what do you hope that the viewer takes away from your story?
I hope they take away that it doesn't have to be so difficult to work with people with dementia. If you just use your heart and your hands and your eyes and use the nature around us and sit, look into the fire, go to take a walk in the wood, touch each other. It's really powerful. It's a force that we have, every one of us. And of course we have our educations also, but it's like we somewhere in some part we lost that force, and we can use it in all the system. So I think my hope is that actually that the people that see this film would try to do that, to do the same.
Well, it honestly comes out beautifully. My grandmother, many, many years ago when I was very young, had dementia and went into a nursing facility. And I wish she had a place as wonderful as you were running there. And so thank you. I wish you both the best with the film. And please feel free to enjoy a piece of cake, but not with berries.
Yes, and of course we need 10,000, 100,000 of Dagmar's Minnes nursing home to pop up over the world.
Yes.
Mai is publishing her book about her method in English this autumn or something. So I mean it's not rocket science. I hope to inspire others to copy.
Mm-hmm. This case would be definitely, imitation would be the sincerest form of flattery, I think, in this case. So thank you to you both. I very
thank
much
you.
Appreciate the chance to chat with you. Thank you.
It was such a nice conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.